The Holy Gospel is written in the fourth chapter of St. John, beginning at the third verse. It will be read in dialogue fashion in conformity with the text. Jesus was journeying northward from Judea to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria on the way. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a piece of property that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, while his disciples went into the village to buy food. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water.
"Will you give me a drink?"
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
She said this since Jews did not associate with Samaritans.
"If you had known the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"But, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give will become in him a spring of water welling up to everlasting life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right when you say you have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
"I who speak to you am he."
This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us.
O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy.
You that sit at the right hand of the Father,
have mercy on us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us.
Arise, O Christ, and help us.
And deliver us from the name.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is taken from today's gospel lesson, the fourth chapter of St. John, the 14th verse. "Whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is our text. When was the last time you really put your mouth in the dust? No doubt it was a very unpleasant experience. I recall such an occurrence, which happened last summer during an intercongregational softball game. By some stroke of luck, I managed to get to first base, and the next batter really powdered one into deep left center. As I rounded second going to third, our third base coach waved me on frantically, saying that I should go home. With the lightning speed of a tortoise, I followed his command, and I found out that it was going to be closer than I had really thought. So I made a headlong dive into home plate. Alas, another one bit the dust. As the cloud dissipated and the runner was safe at home, I hustled back to the bench, greeted by pats on the back and "well done," which I readily received, of course. However, more readily, I received the cool, fresh, clear water that was given to me. That water was very great indeed. Water is essential for life. It's essential for human life, but it's also essential for our spiritual lives in Jesus Christ. We consider today the living water that Christ gives us. Christ has given us this living water, which makes our life in Him possible. He has given us the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth through the means of grace. Water is a very simple thing indeed, and sometimes we barely even think of it. Yet it becomes significant when we are without water. Our spiritual water becomes significant when we realize that we are born into a spiritual desert. The law of God tells us we are born blind, dead, enemies of God. We don't know God, and neither do we care to know Him either. We are left high and dry by the results of our sin. There we are in a spiritual desert where there is no water to be found. One cannot live without water, and so death follows. And so man receives death as the payment for his sins instead of the life that the Lord would give him. We can thank and praise God that He has delivered us from such a spiritual desert in Jesus Christ. But perhaps we are not out of the desert yet. How often in our lives do we center ourselves around worldly concerns and exclude the spiritual concerns? We are somewhat like the character Scrooge in the Dickens classic, The Christmas Story. We are all too ready to join in the chorus, "I like life, life likes me. Life and I are on a perpetual spree." How ready we are to turn from the spiritual arity that we have and turn back into it once again when we love our sin more than we love the Lord. When man has no water, he tries to make his own. We have seen this recently out west, in the western United States, where they are now practicing cloud seeding, a process whereby a chemical is mixed with the cloud to provide them with rain. It has been employed to help ease the drought there. In a spiritual sense, sometimes we are prone to try to make our own rain in our spiritual aridity. We attempt to claim and create our own life and justify that life before God. Although man can make rain in a physical sense, he cannot do this in a spiritual sense. Perhaps we on the seminary campus are especially prone to this problem, as we think we certainly are the Lord's Almighty, His right hand, and He certainly counts on us. But the truth remains, you cannot seed your own theological cloud. You cannot create your own life. And here's where the beauty of our text comes to us at this time. Christ has given us living water, which leads to life. This living water is a free gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be sought, it cannot be bought, it cannot be earned. It's a free gift from the fountain of life. In our text, when the Samaritan woman came to Jesus and would not offer Him a drink, Jesus responds, "If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." Now, exegetes differ on the interpretation of this living water, but it is not Jesus Christ, since He is the one who gives it. It is not eternal life, but springs up into eternal life. The context of our passage and our Lord's description of living water in John 7 indicates that it is the Holy Spirit who uses the means of grace to create faith in us and to bring us into contact with Jesus Christ. And where there is fellowship with Christ, there is also life. Thus the Holy Spirit has given us life and provides us with a deep, flowing supply of living water. In our lesson for today, the woman asks, "Where do you get this living water?" The living water comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's based upon Him alone. Through sin, we created our insurmountable gap between us and God the Father. We were in a spiritual desert, and there was no oasis to be found. We were lost. But God has given us new life, true life. Why? He has given it to us on the basis of His free, unexpected, and gracious salvation in Jesus Christ, the life of all the living. By His death on the cross, Christ redeemed us from sin and death and pulled us out of our spiritual desert. The Hoover Dam is a very notable engineering feat. However, like all worthwhile achievements, the Hoover Dam involved sacrifice to be completed. 89 men gave up their lives in building that dam, and there's an inscription over the dam that reads like this: "For those who died that the desert might bloom." Jesus Christ died so that your spiritual desert might bloom to eternal life. And he also rose victorious over death, becoming the first fruit of the resurrection and the Lord of life. Life is only found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in his death and in his resurrection. This living water leads to life in two ways. Our lives right now are hid with God in Christ. Life is experienced through the forgiveness of our sins, which the Holy Spirit conveys to us through the means of grace, his word, and the sacraments. This forgiveness of sins restores us to God in the fullest sense. This forgiveness removes guilt from us, the greatest enemy to a true, joyful Christian life. This forgiveness of sins is what Luther called one of the greatest fruits of the suffering and death of our Savior. And with this forgiveness of sins, we can catch the essence of our lives. This living water is no tame or stagnant life. It enables us to share in the abundant life right now, and it springs up to eternal life, where we are joined with Christ forever. Our eternal life is the fulfillment of our life right now. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, "We have tasted the heavenly gift, become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the powers of the age to come." Yes, the victory and salvation of Christ find their most pointed expression in everlasting life. There we will thirst no more. So remain in the life that Christ gives. Live in the forgiveness of sins every day, as the Holy Spirit fills you up with his living water and refreshes you with his grace. Share the gospel message of Christ so that living waters may spring up in other people as well. The living water that the Spirit gives will flow in you and supply you with the strength and help that you need for your ministry. In this way, we will become like the semi-retired pastor who continued to work day in and day out with all his might, insisting that he would rather wear out than rust out. To this end, may God use you in his ministry of life as you proclaim him as the fountain of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Water, it doesn't seem like much, but you cannot live without it. Amen.